argument is Spiva v. Astru. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff, David Spiva. Mr. Spiva is a Social Security disability claimant whom the ALJ found suffers from a combination of impairments, including schizophrenia, psychosis, depression, dysthymia, and attention deficit disorder. The ALJ made several legal errors, including his Step 4 finding. At Step 4, the administrative law judge must determine whether or not a claimant can perform their past relevant work. In this case, the ALJ found that the plaintiff could perform his work as a stock clerk. However, according to Social Security ruling 8262, an ALJ's decision must include specific findings as to what the mental and physical demands of the plaintiff's past relevant work are, and then the ALJ must make a residual functional capacity finding, and then compare the functional capacity to the demands of the past work.
Well, we know that he had been doing that work recently, right? For Walmart as a stocker, right?
That's correct.
Was there evidence that his condition had deteriorated significantly from the time that he was working?
Well, he had been hospitalized twice, so I'd say the answer is yes.
Those were pretty brief, weren't they?
Well, the one was a week or more than that. Mm-hmm. But the plaintiff testified that his condition had been worsening, and he had not gone back to work then, other than for a family friend who was doing him a favor, mm-hmm. letting him clean up. And the ALJ did not rely on that factor also in reaching her conclusion. The commissioner, in responding to plaintiff's argument on this point, makes an affirmative statement that Mr. Spiva's job actually was that of stock clerk with the Dictionary of Occupational Titles number 222.387-058. While the commissioner argues that Dictionary of Occupational Code establishes that job did not require a lot of social functioning, that job also is a semi-skilled job, actually at the high end of semi-skilled. And since the administrative law judge actually made a finding that the plaintiff is limited to unskilled work, by definition, he's not capable of performing semi-skilled work, and the ALJ Step 4 finding was therefore erroneous. Similarly, the ALJ made a Step 5 finding, which is finding that the plaintiff could do other work, but she did so based on the medical vocational guidelines. And as we pointed out in our brief, Social Security, the ruling 20 CFR 404.1569A specifically states that the medical vocational guidelines do not dictate a finding of disabled or not disabled where a claimant suffers from solely non-exertional limitations. And that's the case with Mr. Spiva. He has non-exertional limitations, and what they call the grid rules just don't apply. The ALJ needed to have some type of vocational source to assist her in determining whether there were other jobs that exist.
Mr. Schultz, can I just go back for a second about this? You mentioned the hospitalizations as evidence of deterioration. And were both of those triggered, or either of them triggered, by Mr. Spiva getting off of his medications?
It's very possible. I don't think that's absolutely clear in the record, but it is clear in the record that Mr. Spiva was often on his medications frequently.
Well, that raises one of the things that I find pretty troubling here. The commissioner is saying, look, there's no doctor who has offered an opinion to the effect that Mr. Spiva is disabled from working. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's a pretty big hurdle for you to overcome, even if the ALJ's opinion wasn't perfect. We've got the doctors saying, yeah, look, the guy has difficulties. When he's on his medication, he can function. He can work.
Well, actually, Dr. Johnson is the one doctor who made that statement, but the administrative law judge doesn't even mention Dr. Johnson's opinion. She didn't rely on Dr. Johnson's opinion. But in addition, the ALJ makes specific findings as to limitations that Mr. Spiva suffers from. She didn't find that he doesn't have any significant limitations due to his impairments.
Well, nobody takes that position.
Right. In addition, because the plaintiff was unrepresented, the ALJ actually had a heightened duty to develop this record. And the plaintiff testified to significant limitations and to significant problems
What was his job for Walmart?
He had two jobs. He stocked shelves in the store, and then later he was transferred and he was loading and unloading trucks.
Now, did the ALJ discuss this issue of whether he can concentrate for more than 2 hours?
No, the ALJ did not discuss that.
Would he have to do that for any of these jobs?
Well, there's nothing specific in the Dictionary of Occupational Titles description of the jobs that indicates that. Social Security does on their forms, that's one of the questions that they usually ask their mental health specialist, is whether a claimant can sustain attention and concentration for 2 hours. But that was not a question that was asked of any of the mental health experts.
What is the job that the ALJ thinks he's fit to do? Is it loading stuff in the dock or what?
Actually, the ALJ does not say. She just says it's his stocker job. That's what she calls it, his stocker job. She doesn't describe which of the two positions that he had she feels.
So isn't there a difference? Because if you're a stock, what do you call these people? Shelf? What do you call them? The people who put things away and, you know.
I mean, stocking shelves and things. I don't know.
What's the name of that job? Or does it have a name?
Don't know that it has a name, Your Honor.
Whatever it is. Those people interact with customers, don't they?
That would be correct.
So is he capable? I mean, or did she discuss that? I mean, this guy obviously he has serious mental problems. Now, I'm sure there are jobs which people with serious mental problems can do, but can he interact with?
I think there's a lot of evidence in this record that he has significant problems with that, given that he's lost several jobs because of his unusual and abnormal behavior of feeling that he's experiencing the spirits and being controlled by the spirits of other people. And
according to her, the ALJ, this fellow has schizophrenia, dysthymia, whatever that is. What's dysthymia?
Dysthymia is a form of depression. It's something that's been chronic, going on for at least 2 years.
He's psychotic. He's depressed. He's got attention deficit disorder. So ALJ, it was a she?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Does she say, when she's talking about what jobs he can, whether he can perform this job as a stocker of shelves, does she say that, you know, he does have, I mean, this is very serious, schizophrenia. He's schizophrenic, but he can deal with people? Because I don't know how it is in Walmart, but in, Walgreens or Treasure Island, you're constantly asking the stocking people, where is something, what is something, have the raspberries come in, or what happened? Now, is that the sort of thing that he'd be asked in Walmart?
I have to say, on this record, there's no specific testimony about that, but yes, I mean, people who work in stores are...
ALJ say about the degree to which these serious mental disease would interfere with this kind of job?
Well, I mean, one of the other issues in the case is in her functional capacity assessment, the ALJ only limited him to simple, unskilled, routine work with no mention of any limitations in dealing with other people, whether that's coworkers or supervisors. But at step 2 and 3, she found that he had moderate limitations in social functioning, but then she doesn't include any limitations in social functioning in her residual functional capacity assessment.
But was there a vocational expert who testified?
There was no vocational expert who testified in this case.
Isn't that standard that the ALJ gives the list of impairments to the vocational expert, and then he says there are, 10,000 jobs in the Midwest or something like that?
That's what often happens. It doesn't happen every time.
Why didn't it happen here?
The ALJs have, she used her discretion not to call a vocational expert. Well, they don't have to call a vocational expert, but if there are non-exertional limitations, they have to have some legitimate basis for finding that a claimant can perform work, and she didn't have any such basis here because she didn't rely on any expert source, and the grid rules don't apply.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Danke?
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Joshua Danke for the Commissioner of Social Security. I want to jump right into a couple of the arguments made by Mr. Spies.
I have to say, I'm really unhappy the way the Social Security Administration is treating our opinion in Parker versus Astra, right? So what we said was, you know, the Chenery Doctrine requires the Social Security lawyers, when they defend a Social Security decision, to to stay within the framework of the administrative law judge, and they're not supposed to rely on evidence that the administrative law judge didn't rely on. Now, most of the evidence in your brief is not relied on by the administrative law judge. So your response to all this is you're dissolving everything in harmless error. So you're, in effect, your brief is a better version of the administrative law judge's opinion. It has all sorts of evidence that she didn't discuss. And you're asking us, in effect, to substitute that for her opinion.
Well, Your Honor, I'd bring up a couple of points. First of all, oftentimes, I think Mr. Spiva's counsel agrees that an ALJ need not discuss every piece of evidence in the record.
So you don't have to discuss everything in the evidence. And this is a game. The administrative law judge writes a bare-bones decision, leaving out most of the evidence. Then you come in and supply the evidence. That doesn't sound like...
Your Honor, first, I would suggest that...
You've got all sorts of stuff in your brief that she doesn't allude to.
Yes, and Your Honor, and some of that is actually in direct response to certain of plaintiff's arguments, and we would argue is not post hoc rationalization. For example, Mr. Spiva's counsel argued in his opening brief that Mr. Spiva's primary reason for refusing to take his medications was financial. That's why then we, in our brief, discussed the fact that finances were hardly ever raised as an issue at all in the record, and that, in fact, Mr. Spiva gave numerous other reasons for...
Take something in your discussion of malingering. ALJ says that there's a reference to Spiva's possibly being a malingerer.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, the doctor who said that concluded that he wasn't a malingerer, right?
Your Honor, that's not actually accurate. There's one reference in the record to the possibility that Mr. Spiva was not malingering, that he was being truthful. That was in the middle of his July 2007 hospital stay. By the end...
So the ALJ doesn't discuss this. She just says, yes, malingerer. She doesn't discuss the others. So you supply that. How do we know if her opinion were accurate? How do you know she would have denied benefits?
Your Honor, because when we look at this opinion and when we look at the entire record, the record supports her opinion.
Well, but she didn't look at the entire record.
Your Honor,
also, what about this last point Mr. Schultz was making? Look, this guy has serious mental illness, schizophrenia. That's psychosis. That's extremely serious. That's not my conclusion. That's the ALJ's conclusion. Schizophrenic, psychotic. Well, doesn't he have to say something about the ability of a person with serious mental disease to do whatever jobs she thinks are available in his area? Well, where is that in her opinion?
Your Honor, the ALJ has a duty to look at the evidence in the record.
Where in her opinion does she discuss the bearing? It's she who says he's schizophrenic, he's depressed, he's psychotic, he's got attention deficit disorder. Where does she say, despite all this, he can go back to Walmart and do that job or the equivalent job for other big stores, right?
She points out that
where did she say that?
She does not state that exactly, Your Honor. She really does not. But she does point out...
That's the critical question in the case.
But she supports
her finding. A person with this assortment of mental diseases, can he actually work in a store? Now, I can see how he can dig ditches and maybe load and unload things in a loading dock. Is that the set of jobs that she has said he can do?
She has said that he can do his stocker work, yes.
But that's inside, right, the stocking work? That's inside. People come up to you and you say, and they say, where's this, where's that? Have this, and what is this, right? That's how people, these stockers, they're constantly interacting with the customers. Customers get uncomfortable when they're interacting with lunatics, right?
Your Honor, well, first of all, Mr. Spiva did testify that his job changed to stocking trucks. Conceivably, that's not as much indoors and on the stocking food in the shelves.
I agree with that. But does she say, okay, he can't go back in the store? He can unload things on a dock. Well, then she'd have to ascertain that there are a sufficient number of jobs, in the relevant area, that's a reasonable limitation to his vocational opportunities. Where's that, in her opinion?
Your Honor, the ALJ does not specify that information, but the ALJ makes a reasonable inference here about the demands of this job. And it's based on...
Does she say he can go back into a store?
Your Honor, no. And I appreciate what you're saying. I mean, the ALJ's decision here, I think everyone would want it to include more information. And what we do when we look at this...
She says he's being evasive.
Yes, Your Honor.
He's nuts, right?
But no doctor said that.
How does he talk straight? I mean, what do you expect a person with schizophrenia to be, right?
But Your Honor, no doctor opined that despite a lot of doctors found that he had schizophrenia or mild forms of depression, but didn't find him limited in these areas.
Well, what's going on? How can you say this guy has schizophrenia? She didn't say mild depression. She said depression, dysthymia, psychosis, depression, attention deficit disorder. But she never says what these very serious, well, not the last maybe, but these are serious mental illnesses. And she doesn't say how that relates to his ability to do something like what he's been doing.
Your Honor, she does not get as specific, but the bottom line is that no
matter of being specific or general, she never mentions it.
But she finds that he is limited only to simple, routine, repetitive work, and those are limitations that would address those. And
that's not the stocking job inside. That's not simple, repetitive work. Look, if you're in a supermarket or in Walmart's, you get directions, put this, that you have to know where everything is in the store in order to be a stocker, right? That's not simple. That's not an assembly line where you're tying a string around a box.
Well, Your Honor, something such as stocking a shelf.
It's not. Look, if you're a stocker inside a store, you have to know where everything is. Someone isn't going to say to you, I'm going to now lead you to aisle 5A, and I'm going to point to the shelf, and that's where you're going to put this stuff in your... That's not how it works.
Your Honor...
It's a responsible job.
Yes, Your Honor, and no one is fighting the notion that Mrs. Spiva did have serious mental conditions, but...
Well, you say this is a responsible job, but this lunatic can do it, right?
Well, Your Honor, she did not characterize him as a lunatic, and because the medical evidence didn't...
She never discussed the bearing of his mental illnesses on a job stocking shelves inside a store.
That's
what I'm missing.
Your Honor, I appreciate that. And we understand the ALJ did not get a specific
so
in
why
here.
Why are you defending a decision?
Because, Your Honor, we believe the record supports
discretion to decide whether to defend an opinion like this.
Yes, Your Honor. And it is because the overall record supports the ALJ's findings.
Look, we see this repeatedly. Judicial officers have terrible problems dealing with mental illness. They don't understand it. They often don't take it seriously. They don't connect the dots. They don't say, okay, I'm dealing with a person who has serious mental illness, and I have to consider what kind of job in the economy actually can be done by a person with these problems.
And I appreciate that, Your Honor. And the expertise in this
boilerplate. And we're still getting this stuff, this nonsense about how the same, it appears in every single opinion, where this statement about how although the testimony is consistent with this and that, I don't find it to be entirely credible. Then, of course, the ALJ never goes on and explains in what specific respects it's not credible. And then you come up here and said, well, she made a credibility finding. We have to defer to that. But we have no idea what the credibility finding is.
Your Honor, I
what part of her of his testimony did she disbelieve?
Your Honor, she points out again that, and I see that I'm out of time, if I may respond to your question.
Well, I wouldn't ask you if I didn't want your response, right?
Yes, Your Honor. The ALJ does point out that that Spiva's credibility is lessened by the fact that he didn't take his medications, that he was evasive in treatment, that he was malingering in treatment, that he had positive
interactions. We're back to malingering.
I'm sorry?
We're back to malingering.
Yes.
We've been through malingering.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm not sure. And he also points out the fact that the daily activities, the ALJ points out the social interactions as well.
The social interactions, his relatives keep kicking him out. He's obviously impossible.
Because and his cousin who kicked him out said that he had nothing to offer, not that he was unbearable to live with or something like that. He babysitted his non-infant daughter.
It's very difficult to live with people like that.
And he also babysat his non-infant daughter up till a month before.
Great. Okay, babysat. Look, I'm going to shut up now. You're going to have 5 more minutes to make whatever argument you plan to make.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll just briefly cover a couple more points. I did want to address very quickly Mr. Spiva's counsel's argument with respect to the Dictionary of Occupational Titles. Counsel's misstated the commissioner's position by stating that the commissioner asserts that his past relevant work was this particular code number in there. We've made reference to it as an example, an alternative example, if Mr. Spiva was, in fact, limited with respect to social interaction, which the ALJ found that he was not. There's no statement that Mr. Spiva's stalker job was this certain DOT code, and there was no need for that. Counsel seems to be suggesting that in all cases the commissioner must actually find a job in the Dictionary of Occupational Titles that directly corresponds to the job that the claimant can do. But in this case, our argument is that the ALJ made a reasonable inference, and a reasonable inference need not include direct citation from the Dictionary of Occupational Titles. Unless the panel has anything further for me, we would ask that the court affirm the district court's decision. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Thank you. Mr. Schultz, much time to see you. 1 minute.
Just a couple of things. At page 299 of the record, the plaintiff had testified that, in fact, he had run out of insurance and couldn't afford his medications. So he did state that. Other times he simply said that none of the medications that had been prescribed to him helped. And whether that was accurate or that was the claimant's psychosis and schizophrenia causing him.
Schizophrenics have difficulty taking medication. Don't a lot of them?
They do. There was a study I cited said up to 80%, I believe, of people with schizophrenia often just stop taking their medications. It's difficult to get them to do that. Also, in terms of the malingering question, actually in the discharge summary, which is found at page 284 of the record, and summarizing that, it states that the psychiatrist decided eventually that the claimant was honest and not malingering. He was just puzzled and confused. And finally, as the commissioner notes, the ALJ did not find in her residual functional capacity finding any limitations at all in social functioning, yet at steps 2 and 3, she did find limitations in social functioning, and she never provides that logical bridge as to how findings of moderate limitations in social functioning at step 2 can translate to no findings of limits in social functioning at steps 4. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schultz, and thank you to Mr. Denke. Next case for argument is...